Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Make no mistake, as the largest transportation agency in the country, this bill will hit the MTA hard. It'll hit the MTA very hard.
That was MTA Chairman Joe Loda speaking this week, and the bill in question would redirect federal transportation funds, a move Loda and other mass transit advocates say would put a halt to mass transit projects nationwide. In New York City, that means putting a big dent in the MTA's capital budget, and those advocates say putting a halt to construction on the 2nd Avenue subway line, the East Side Access Project that's bringing the LIRR into Grand Central, and the Fulton Transit Center Project. Oh, and yes, of course, fare hikes. So joining me now to talk about this bill, which would eliminate the Surface Transportation Assistance Act, as it's known, is Andrea Bernstein, director of the Public Radio Transportation Nation Project and senior correspondent here at WNYC. Hey, Andrea.
Good morning.
Connect the dots for our listeners. How do federal funds from a gasoline tax support mass transit infrastructure in our area now, particularly for the MTA?
So some 30 years ago, Ronald Reagan was the president, the country was in a somewhat similar situation to now. There was a recession. The money to build roads and infrastructures was underfunded. The gas tax wasn't enough. And there was this desire to sort of handle it. And what happened, interestingly, is Ronald Reagan, who, as governor of California, had not been particularly pro-transit, decided as president and came to believe that the gas tax had to be raised and that the highway bill, as it was sort of is colloquially known, had to include transit because transit relieves congestion on highways, that you can't move all the people that you need to move in the country on highways alone. So he very aggressively pushed to raise the gas tax. He flew in Republican senators from around the country in the days before Christmas, and he got it passed. And that's the way it's been for 30 years. There is an assessment on every gallon of gas that you buy, and part of that assessment goes to roads and bridges and sort of automobile infrastructure, and about 20% of it goes to mass transit up to now.
So there's been a formula since Reagan that about 20% of the fuel taxes and other highway user fees in this trust fund go to mass transit. But under what Speaker Boehner wants, it would instead compete annually with other programs?
Well, yeah. I mean, it just sort of depends on sort of how you count the 20%. It's sort of 20% of a specific pool of money. But the point is that there's a dedicated funding stream that is assured. And this came up very suddenly. But last week, the House was sort of committees were getting ready to introduce the transportation bill. And all of a sudden, the Ways and Means Committee voted on this proposal to make transit funding part of the appropriations process. So what that means is that every year, senators and congresspeople, and we can see how easily they can come to agreement on things, have to come to an agreement to pay for transit. The bill is also unclear because it says, oh, okay, this money will come out of the general fund. It won't come out of this dedicated tax, but it hasn't said where the $40 billion extra dollars are going to appear to keep there from being a budget gap in the general fund.
And, of course, this is a very New York issue because, as the very strong Times editorial against this bill points out today, this fund provides about $8 billion for mass transit, or it did in 2010, and the MTA alone got $1 billion of the $8 billion, an eighth. And that's commensurate, I think, or maybe not even commensurate, with the percentage of mass transit commuters that we have in the New York area. Don't we have something like a quarter to a third of all the people in America who get to work through mass transit?
Well, New York is an outlier. I mean, you know, if you take this whole region, including Dutchess County and Putnam County and the upstate counties, over 50% of New Yorkers get to work on transit. The next closest city is San Francisco with 24%. And then after that, it's about 12%. So we're just completely different from the rest of the country when it comes to transit. However, there are a lot of national groups who are really upset about this because, for example, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was on a conference call I was listening to yesterday, and they're very, very upset about it because a lot of sort of up-and-coming cities like Charlotte, North Carolina, Denver, Colorado, you know, of course, these are in swing states, are trying to rebuild their or build up their transit systems as a way to sort of attract companies. And it's a strategy that Charlotte has used to good effect. Denver has used to good effect. The head of the Dallas transportation system was on the conference call, and he was upset because a lot of these cities are wanting to expand their transit systems, and they're worried that this would really stop that because there's no sure stream of funding over the years.
So let me understand what this would really mean for New York, because you're not saying there's going to be less money for transportation coming out of Washington. You're saying that there wouldn't be a guaranteed percentage that goes to the MTA or that goes to mass transit in general. Every project would have to compete annually with every other project. But why think that it wouldn't come out roughly the same? Or, hypothetically, that the MTA might not do better if they weren't restricted to a certain predetermined percentage?
Well, I mean, I think there's a sort of couple answers to that. One is that if you sort of look at the way this Congress has been moving, and particularly, you know, certain kind of the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party has very much been pushing against public funding of any kind of transportation that is non-automobile related. High-speed rail, Amtrak, transit is part of it. So there is a very strong voice in Congress right now against transit, which is more vocal than it's probably ever been in history because this funding has only been around for 30 years.
Why would the Tea Party, which is for limited government, be for roads if they're against transit?
Well, you know, it's a complicated – I mean, you know, some people, depending on sort of where you are in the Tea Party, don't actually believe in road funding either. They believe in sort of, you know, that that should be something that the private sector takes on and that government doesn't do. But, you know, the sort of members of Congress who are from, you know, areas with a lot of Tea Party support tend to sort of understand that, you know, in much of America, people are using their cars and need roads. But, you know, there's still a push to defund roads in some areas. I don't want to minimize that. But, you know, the transit thing is really seen as extraneous. It's sort of seen as their way of getting to work, not our way of getting to work, which is by car. Now, the other problem for the MTA and all of these other transportation agencies across the country is that if you want to sell a bond to build a subway, I mean, of course, you're not going to build a new subway line in a year. You have to have a guaranteed revenue stream, or you're going to have to pay a very high interest rate. Well, you can imagine if this is subject to appropriation every year that investors are going to be very anxious and probably justifiably so that they may not get their bonds paid back. So they're going to demand higher interest, which means these projects become much, much more expensive.
Andrea Bernstein, the head of our Transportation Nation project, talking about the proposal in the House of Representatives to eliminate the dedicated funding stream for mass transit. And if this sounds familiar to some of you, it's because, yes, we did talk last week on the show about the House Transportation Bill's proposal to end dedicated funding for bike routes and pedestrian walkways like safe routes to schools. Is this all part and parcel of the same thing? Because it seems like this came out later.
It did. It came out later. It came out very unexpectedly. There was an 18-hour marathon session, and then at the very end of it, the House Ways and Means Committee met, and they voted basically along party lines to put in this measure to change the way that funding was handed out. And it has alarmed a lot of people. I mean, what's very interesting about this is that, you know, transportation is something that has always had, including transit, a bipartisan consensus that people believe, you know, this is something the government should do, like schools or like police. I mean, there isn't a lot of debate about that. But the, you know, it sort of tells you something about where the Republican Congress is now, that U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, himself a Republican, used to be a Republican congressman before he had this job, said that this was the worst bill he's seen in 35 years and the most partisan bill ever. Joe Loda, who we heard at the top of the show, deputy mayor under Republican Mayor Rudy Giuliani, opposed to it. So there is this, you know, sense of even people in the Republican Party that are sort of almost breathless with dismay that this could actually happen.
This is not a good week for Ray LaHood, whose son is under arrest in Egypt, apparently on political charges relating to NGO work over there. So he is getting it from all sides. But this is essentially the first bill Congress has taken up this year. Why this? What is it about the Highway Trust Fund that makes it so important to Speaker John Boehner, and I gather these changes are his baby, instead of the payroll tax cuts, which are going to expire next month, or whatever else may be seen as, you know, more central to the future of the country?
Well, there is a clock, which is that the bill, the Surface Transportation Bill, which has been subject to small reauthorizations or short reauthorizations, expires in March. So there is a deadline that, by which Congress has to act. But Boehner also clearly saw it as an opportunity for him to sort of carry on the political fights he wants to carry on. I mean, we haven't even talked about the ways in which the bill talks about opening up all kinds of sensitive ecosystems for drilling and natural gas extraction as a way, they say, to fund it.
And you're right. We've been talking about the MTA-related portions of the bill, but I guess the bigger political picture is it was Boehner's idea to combine transportation with energy in this House bill. So it uses revenue from energy leasing, energy production to close some of the gaps for highway funding. Did you say the Keystone Pipeline gets in there? Is that in this bill?
The Keystone Pipeline is sort of still a little bit nebulous, but everybody sort of expects that, you know, when it comes to a vote next week, that is also going to be part of it. Now, I should say that, you know, there's some doubt about whether this bill is going to pass because it is so far apart from where the Senate is. I mean, the Senate has its own bill that it's going to actually start voting on today. And the two sides are so far apart that nobody is quite sure how they could come to an agreement on this. But nevertheless, the House proposals really are sort of a radical departure even from the Republican roots of this bill.
And Reuters says today the Senate bill would mostly rely on extending the gasoline tax, which goes into trust funds for highways and transit, through September of 2015. It would also use penalties against large vehicles which don't meet fuel economy standards and would even change how inherited retirement accounts are taxed in order to meet budget gaps for transportation.
Yeah, I mean, neither one of these bills really does what the Reagan bill did in 30 years ago, which was ensure a funding stream. I mean, they're both sort of kind of, you know, pulling a little here, a little there, you know, looking under the couch cushions, trying to find whatever funding sources they can. But neither one of them is going to solve the problem because the gas tax is shrinking. The gas tax is shrinking because people are driving less and they're driving more fuel-efficient cars. So the federal government is collecting less money. And, you know, the gas tax hasn't been raised in a generation. Most people think it actually has. Most people think the gas tax rises every year. But the federal government not wanting to take on that issue of raising a tax in this election year is sort of stuck with, you know, both sides of the aisle with these stopgap measures.
So is there not really a threat to Second Avenue Subway, LIRR, Grand Central Access, the other projects that are ongoing here and dependent on a federal funding stream as well as the other funding streams? Not really a threat because this will never pass the Senate and be reconciled in this way. You do have a story up on Transportation Nation today about how chambers of commerce and mass transit advocates around the country are saying that this House bill is a serious threat and that it could actually be come to pass. It could actually pass the full Congress. But how could that be if the Senate is so far apart from them?
Well, you know, this has been, if you sort of look back at the last year and you look at sort of all of August and what happened with the debt ceiling talks, nobody thought it would come to that either. And that is the Chamber of Commerce and some of these other groups' arguments that you can't dismiss these things. The leadership of the House of Representatives is taking them seriously. I think also what they're worried about is sort of an erosion of support, that maybe there's some compromise where, you know, transit remains part but gets a smaller amount of funding or some other kind of, you know, legislative deal that would threaten these projects. And, you know, let me also just say there isn't a transit system in the country that isn't underwater. I mean, all of these transit systems, like the MTA, are completely broke. So losing their federal funding stream just, you know, sort of makes them more stretched and more stressed out at a time when they want to be able to attract more people to transit because, you know, it eases congestion and it cuts pollution. And for some people, it's a cheaper alternative.
All right, folks, now you know. Mass transit funding, very relevant to the future of our area. The ongoing projects for Grand Central LIRR and the Second Avenue Subway in play in Washington. Chairman of the MTA speaking out. Hearing about it via Andrea Bernstein, director of our Transportation Nation project at transportationnation.org.
Thanks, Brian.
Coming up next, managing information overload, how to avoid being less informed even as you use social media more. Stay with us.